Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, people seeking asylum in Ireland will no longer be housed in privately run direct provision centres and will instead be assigned own-door accommodation through local authorities with a separate housing budget. Well, that's if the recommendations of a new expert report are implemented. That report, commissioned by the last government and chaired by Dr. Catherine Day, also recommends a maximum wait time of 6 months for an initial decision on each application, and that asylum seekers should be entitled to work permits more quickly than at present. All those recommendations should be up and running by 2023, according to the report. So I've been asking Minister for Children, Equality and Integration, Roderick O'Gorman, if they will be.
Well, the Day report, which was launched today, is going to be one component in the white paper that myself, Minister McEntee and other ministers will be bringing together across government over the next number of weeks. The white paper will be published by the end of the year, towards the end of December. And the white paper will set out the timeline for moving to a new system of accommodation for people in the international protection system. So I've always said, since I've taken over this particular ministry, that direct provision is a complex system. It's one that's going to take a while to deconstruct. I've always spoken about having it done across a term of government, and I think it is important to remember that direct provision was put in place in a rush, and it has lasted with us for 20 years. So what I don't want it to do is rush the solution to it. Mm. I want to make sure it's implemented in a proper way that is actually lasting, and make sure that we have a system of accommodation for people in the international protection process
so no commitment that
meets their human rights.
No commitment today for 2023, is that right?
I think we'll set out a very clear timetable in the white paper in December.
There's a couple of different timelines that this gives in terms of how the process should work, this report, and it says there should be 6 months from the date of application for any applicant to have their application processed, and then a 6 month deadline for appeal. Is there any government commitment to implement that recommendation at this point?
Well, my colleague, Minister Helen McEntee, will oversee the all elements of the application process, and she's already taking measures to make sure it's shortened. Currently, it's about 15 months in the first stage, and she's working to bring that down to 9 months. And she received funding in the budget to undertake the staffing measures, but also the ICT measures that will actually shorten that initial stage of a person's application. So look, again, the issues of the timelines that we want to achieve, so people will only be in the application process for a reasonable period of time, they'll all be set out in the white paper.
Okay, but she's working towards a timeline that is already 3 months longer than what is recommended in this report.
She was working towards that 9 month timeline before this report came out. So I've full confidence in Helen that she and her department will work to ensure that we have people in the application process for as short a period as possible, because the element I'm trying to deal with in accommodation won't be successful if we don't have a much shorter application process as well.
Does 12 months sound reasonable to you? Is it for the entire process, for the 6 month application and then 6 month for appeal?
Look, that's the timeline Catherine Day and her group set out, and they've set out kind of their thinking behind it. As I say, the Department of Justice was already working towards nine on the first stage. So look, somewhere around there between 6 and 9 for the first stage, I think is where we're coming to.
Okay. There's a couple of things that Catherine Day says could be implemented very quickly and would signal a real change of direction and immediately improve the lives of applicants. I just want to ask you about a couple of those now. It suggests giving access to work to asylum seekers within 3 months of them applying for protection. Now, the government yesterday agreed to 6 months. So have you fallen at the first hurdle here?
No, I don't think so. The government had been discussing previously the issue of labour market access, and Minister McEntee had been working with her department to review the situation, and they brought forward this 6 month proposal, which we're implementing immediately. The recommendations that Catherine Day has brought forward as regards 3 months, that will be looked at in the context of the white paper. But we're immediately signalling by reducing the both the time period within which someone someone can apply for labour market access, but also ensuring that it's available to people who had a disfavourable decision on their initial application. That cohort of people had previously been excluded from access to the labour market.
I just wonder, Minister, you've had this report for a month. Could you not have spoken to Minister Helen McEntee about this and said, you know what, Catherine Day is recommending 3 months. So rather than you bring an application or a proposal to Cabinet that we reduce the timeline or reduce this to 6 months so that people can only apply for work after 6 months, how about we go immediately with what Catherine Day has suggested and go to 3 months? Why didn't you do that?
Well, myself and Minister McEntee, since the report was presented to us both, and we both received the report at the same time, we've been working closely on all the various steps that we need to undertake to begin the work on the white paper. And we considered this particular issue. As I said, work was already undertaken in the Department of Justice to secure the 6 month timeline, and we've delivered that. And as Sarah, as you mentioned earlier, we've already delivered three other important immediate steps today. Minister Ryan is committed to bringing forward legislation to allow people in direct provision apply for driver's licence, and my department has agreed with HICWA that they'll take up a monitoring role of the standards in direct provision from next year on. And we're also introducing vulnerability assessments for applicants when they arrive to ensure whether they need any particular protections if perhaps they'd been the victim of sexual violence or torture as they fled their particular country.
Okay, so people will be allowed to apply for driving licences from the moment their application is lodged?
The full scale of the right will be set out in Minister Ryan's legislation, and that'll be published by the end of this year. But the objective is to ensure that people can apply for a driver's licence. There's a major issue with that at the moment.
From the moment their application is lodged is what Catherine Day has recommended.
I'll have to wait and see the exact text.
What about
of
bank
Minister
accounts
Ryan's,
then? Will they get access to bank accounts? Catherine Day suggested they should get that immediately.
My department are engaging on the issue of bank accounts. We don't have something to announce on that today, but we're working with the Banking Federation, and we've also been in touch with the Department of Finance, so we are working on the issue of bank accounts.
She has suggested allowances be increased for people in direct provision from January 2021. She's another thing that she says could be done immediately. Will it be?
That will have to be looked at in the context of the white paper.
Is there any provision in the budget for that to happen?
There was not a provision in this year's budget specifically for allowances. As you know, my own department got a very significant increase in funding to begin the changes to the accommodation side of things. So when we understand the nature of the accommodation that we'll be providing for people in the international protection process, we'll then have an understanding of the wider financial and indeed other supports that need to be put in place around that.
All right, so there's a lot of things there that should be done immediately, according to Catherine Day. It doesn't sound like a lot of them will be done immediately.
Well, look, I think, you know, we've set ourselves a timeline of mid-December, which is 8 weeks away to get the white paper up and running. So from a report to a white paper, I think that's a very tight timeline. It's one we're absolutely committed to, and I think that shows the seriousness with which the government is addressing this particular issue.
All right. Separately, Minister, can I ask you about the contact tracing controversy that has been dominating the media today? Stephen Donnelly's office has confirmed to this programme that he only learned of the HSE decision to ask people to do their own contact tracing last night. The Irish Times, meanwhile, is reporting that the Taoiseach only found out about it when he was texted a copy of the Irish Times story about the issue. Is that acceptable in your view, that members of Cabinet, the Taoiseach and the Health Minister, would only find out about this last night and in the Taoiseach's case via an Irish Times story?
No, I think a decision like that is quite significant and is a significant deviation from the existing approach to contact tracing should have been notified more clearly to the Minister for Health. Look, I understand that the system was last weekend experiencing a very significant surge, but that message I know has caused real upset to people when they've received it, and a feeling that an obligation was being placed on them, and something like that I feel probably should have been conveyed to government with more urgency and more clarity.
Finally then, Minister, we've been reporting on the proposed moves to seal the mother and baby home records for 30 years. Indeed, we were talking to you about it on the show last week. The Irish Examiner is reporting today that you've drafted some amendments to the bill which would deal with some of those concerns. Can you confirm that?
Well, just first of all, Sarah, the bill that I'm bringing forward does not seal the archive. The archive is the decision on the 30-year sealing of the archive was made when the Commission on Mother and Baby Homes was established in 2015. What my bill is trying to do is to take one really valuable piece of that archive, this database, which can be used to help children or indeed mothers who are in mother and baby homes to trace family relatives, to take that database out of the archive and give it to TUSLA. I will be bringing forward two amendments. One of those amendments is to ensure that an entire copy of the archive remains in the archive. So a copy of the database will remain in the archive as well as one being moved to TUSLA. That was one of the requests that were made of me. And the other amendment is to allow people who gave personal stories to the confidential committee as part of the commission's investigation, that they will have a period to indicate whether they want their names associated with their testimonies in the archive or whether they want their names redacted. So giving agency back to people rather than making assumptions about what people want, actually ask them. And for some people who you know, don't ever want to kind of the process of giving testimony was so difficult, they don't want any association with what they said. Right. But for other people who want their stories and want their names very much associated with their own personal stories, it ensures that their names will be in the archive as well.
And that was Minister for Children, Equality and Integration Roderick O'Gorman speaking to me a little earlier.